I'm not much for putting titles on messages, but I do sometimes. So this one is called Don't Play With Fire or You'll Get Burnt, or in other words, Don't Play Games With God. Okay, have a look in Hebrews chapter 10, and then we'll begin. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Bless our time in it now, and especially, Lord, open our ears in a special way that we might obey the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 31, now I know there's been preaching on the fear of God here, is that right, Brother Buddy? Yep. And so I'm not going to take away from anything that's been preached on the fear of God, but one of the things that's pointed out in the scriptures here this morning, there is a mention of that, but I'm not going to deal with that this morning. I'm going to come at it from another point of view. So Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Sometimes we get a little bit careless, a little bit flippant about God, and that's a dangerous thing to do as believers. We should certainly fear the Lord. Certainly we should serve him in reverence and godly fear. So starting off this morning, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Then turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. These are just by way of introduction. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. And I think about our country. I've travelled up and down in the last year, up and down through southern Queensland, northern New South Wales and down into Victoria. I've seen the devastation of the drought, and I've seen the creeks and the dams and the rivers that have been empty. And I've thought to myself as I've read the word of God, God says, I call for a drought upon the land. And I thought about the fact that God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And I think, you know, I think our nation is paying the price for forgetting God. And a boy that grew up in northern New South Wales, and back when I was a teenager and even in my preteen years, there was a greater knowledge of God and fear of God in our country than there is today. We went up to Karanda to have a look, and I said to my wife, well, be ready. I said, you know, and I won't say what I said to her, but she got the shock of her life. I said, there's so much. I said, you can feel Satan, the power of Satan in some of those areas at Karanda. And so I appreciate you guys labouring up here. You've got a battle on your hands here with the ideology and some of the stuff you have to deal with up here. You've got a lot more grace and a lot more character than I have to labour in a place like that. But it's good to be here this morning. But just remember, God is a consuming fire, and we ought to remember that as believers. We shouldn't play with fire, and we should not play games with God. There's a lot of Christians that do, sadly. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4. And if you have a look at that quickly, Deuteronomy 4. We can learn lessons from the Word of God today about those who played games with God, be they lost people or saved people, God's people or the devil's people. Look in Deuteronomy 4, verse 24. Deuteronomy 4, 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So what we read over in Hebrews comes from Deuteronomy. So even back then, the children of Israel were told that God was a consuming fire. And if anything, they should have learned that, because God was going to teach them some lessons through the scriptures. So have a look in Romans 15:4, just to establish with you what we're reading from this morning is for our learning. And we go back to Romans 15:4, and it tells us that. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. There's a lot of things in the Old Testament that were hidden from the eyes of the prophets. They did not understand a lot of stuff because things remained a mystery until the New Testament times that would be revealed to men like Peter and Paul. But there were some things that were spelled out plainly in black and white that they should have quite easily have understood. And as we look here in Romans 15:4, it reminds us as New Testament believers, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You want to learn something about God? You want to learn something about life, about experience? Read through the Old Testament as well as the New, and I'll tell you how God dealt with the old people in the Old Testament days, and how he also deals with his people in the New Testament age. Lastly, on that introduction, 1 Corinthians 10. So remember, what we read in the Old Testament was for our learning. And we want to take some things from the Old Testament this morning and hopefully teach some things to you, some things you'll already know. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look down at verse 6. It says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things." So Paul is writing about Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And right at the tail end of the message this morning, I would say something like this. One generation turned their back on God, and one generation turned on God to the point where they lost their inheritance. They walked and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and their children would get to inherit what they were supposed to get. So as we look at the Scriptures, there's much to learn from the Word of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, and he tells us that those things that happened in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses, we can also learn from. It says in verse 5, "With many of them God was not well pleased." In verse 6, "Now these things were our examples." Verse 7, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. 23,000 people in one day. Playing games with God, messing around, playing with fire, they got burnt. Let me start, there are many people within the Word of God we can learn many things from. There are many people that didn't do what God said and they paid the price for it. Exodus chapter 10. See, God raised up Moses to go back into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. And one of the things that Moses was to do was to go and tell Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. And what did Pharaoh say? Well, who's God that I should obey him? I know not the Lord. I'm not going to do what he says. Well, you know, Moses said, if you don't, he's going to kill your son. Well, anyway, we know as we read through the book of Exodus, we know that there was plague after plague, judgment after judgment, and there was the blood, the water turned to blood, there was the frogs, and there was the lice, and there was everything that we read in the Scriptures, and Egypt's going through justice and judgment from Almighty God because God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, I'm not going to obey God, I'm not going to do what he tells me. I'm the one that's the God here. I'm the king here. I'm the ruler. Everybody does what I say. Turn to Exodus chapter 10, please. Well, by the time the plagues have come upon Egypt, various and many sorts of plague, we know not only the frogs, the flies, the lice, the dust, the rivers turned to blood, the death of all the cattle and all of that, and the invasion of the locusts and all of the green stuff is getting eaten up. Look at this in verse 7, chapter 10. "And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us?" Talking about Moses. "Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" So Pharaoh's servants come to him and said, you know something? You should have learned a lesson from the first lots of plagues that you got. But have you learned anything about messing with God, about playing around with God? That's the wrong interpretation. Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Hey, look at your country. It's destroyed. And why is it? He says, you know, God said, simply let my people go and everything's going to be okay. But if you don't, there's going to be damage, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be destruction. And Pharaoh did not let the people go. And time after time after time, Pharaoh said, get Moses in here. Get him to call God off. And so we know that Egypt went through tremendous judgments because Pharaoh would not obey God, would not do what God said he was to do. And even his own people said, why don't you just give in? God's won. And take a look at your country. It's all been destroyed because of your arrogance, because of your pride. Go over in your Bible to Joshua chapter 7. Going to skip around today so that usually I try to do it in sequence and chronologically and all that sort of stuff, but I'm going to jump around a little bit today. So turn over to Joshua chapter 7. This is a story about a guy called Achan. Now, Achan was one of the children of Israel. So he's one of these that came out of the land of Egypt and certainly was amongst those that was now with Joshua. They've entered into the land of Canaan. They fought the battle of Jericho. And so as we read down through here, now God said this. When we take the city of Jericho, he said, everything in there is mine. Keep your grubby hands off everything because it's all mine. You touch or take anything that's mine and you're going to bring a curse upon the nation. Achan was one of those who says, yeah, you know, I don't really believe that. Because the Bible says Achan went in, he saw some stuff, a Babylonish garment, a wedge of gold. He said, yeah, I might just take that and keep that for myself. And he took it. And he hid it in his tent. Then all of a sudden, when they fought the next battle, they lost. So there was some soul searching. We call that navel gazing. What went wrong? God said, I'll tell you what went wrong. Somebody disobeyed me, and now the price has to be paid. Joshua chapter 7, verse 20. So you look on down here, verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. God said, what? You know, you need to gather the people together. You need to go through them tribe by tribe, individual by individual, and find the person that did this. Now, God knew who it was. So Achan comes and says, it was me. This is what I've done. Look at verse 25 and 26. What was the price that was paid? Because he played games with God, and if you play with fire, you get burnt. So here in Joshua 7, verse 25, it says, and also all that... Hang on a minute. Chapter 8. Skip the chapter. Chapter 7, verse 25. It says, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stone him with stones and burn him with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. See, God had already forewarned them before they went in there. Keep your grubby hands off stuff, don't steal from me, because if you do, you'll be in trouble with me. And so Achan thought he could do that and get away with it. But I tell you what, he got too close to the fire and he got burnt. So it's always good to have a respect and a reverence for God, and don't be flippant with God. Be very, very reverential towards the Lord. Go over, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Oh, look, I love reading this story here in 2 Samuel chapter 7. See, there was this Ark of the Covenant, and we know that Hollywood's even tried to make mileage out of the Ark of the Covenant. But, you know, the Bible talks about the Ark of the Covenant. It was kept in the tabernacle, and of course it was covered. And of course when they went out to fight, they had the Ark of the Covenant. It was usually out in front of the armies, and we know that people had an idea that, hey, the power of God or the power of the nation is in that box they keep underneath that covering. And so if you look on down here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 2 Samuel chapter 7, people had a superstition about that box. The Philistines thought, you know, if we could just capture that box, we've got their God in a box. We've got their power in a box. But I'm not talking about that right now. But go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, if you look at verse 7 and 8. Now see, the Ark of the Covenant was to be handled by only one group of people. And it was supposed to be handled in such a way that no one got hurt. But you know, as we read through the scriptures here in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 7, David had gone to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant. And in so doing, they didn't do it the way God said it ought to be done. And so there was a price to pay. You know, sometimes we... Think we've got better ideas than God, or we've got better ways of doing things than God has. Sometimes we think God's ways are a little bit old-fashioned. So we think, you know, I think I can do this better. Well, anyway, David went to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant. I know I've got the cart before the horse here. I'll get to that in just a moment. But, you know, as they went to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant, they violated God's word by picking it up the way they did to retrieve it. But on the way out, as they were retrieving this Ark of the Covenant, I want you to look at this guy here. It says in verse 7, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the Ark of God." See, the Ark started to slide on this cart, and he grabbed it, and God struck him dead, just like that. Look at the next verse. "And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of that place Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the Ark of the Lord come to me?" Well, if he goes back and reads the book, he'll find out how it should be covered, how it should be delivered, how it should be picked up, and how they can retrieve it. But you see, he just sets out, instead of consulting God, instead of consulting God's word, we'll do it like the heathen did. Now, what did the heathen do? Well, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. And they used to cart that thing around on a cart. Now, God's people didn't cart the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. But the Philistines did it. And they captured the Ark, and they thought, you know, we got their God now, we got their power now. But it was too hot for them to handle. And so this Ark of the Covenant was something that represented not only God, but the presence of God. And Uzzah tried to stop that thing from sliding off the Ark as they were off the cart, as they were trying to retrieve it, and God struck him dead. Now, if they'd have read the book and followed the directions in the book, this would not have happened. And, you know, we can keep ourselves out of a lot of strife and out of a lot of trouble as believers if we just read the book and do what God says. David was displeased with God. He says, well, how are we going to get this thing now? He goes back and reads the book. And you find, if you follow through on this later on, they come and retrieve the ark the right way and everything goes well. But go back a little bit here to chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Let's look on down verse 7. So the Philistines have captured the Ark of the Covenant. This is the one that's kept in the tabernacle. And they said, ha ha, we've got their God now, we've got their power. But that thing was too hot for the Philistines. In chapter 5, verse 7, says, "When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon, our God." They took that Ark of the Covenant, they placed it in their worship house with Dagon, their God, and when they came the next day, guess what? Ashdod was on his face before the Ark of the Covenant. His arms and hands and everything had fallen off. And yeah, they said, oh, what's happened here? This was going to get worse and worse as time went on. Jump on down to verse 10 and 11. They said, we don't want this thing around here. It's nothing but trouble. Verse 10. And they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the Ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the Ark of God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. See, even the Philistines said, you know, we're playing with fire and we got burnt. We're messing with things we know nothing about, you know. And we need to treat their God with reverence and godly fear. They said, take that thing back. We don't need it here. It's just causing nothing but trouble. So they learned a lesson that day that you need to treat God with reverence. So the Philistines sent the ark back. And guess what? They sent it on the cart. So I don't know whether David said, oh, well, that's a good idea. We'll use that. No. That didn't work out. So there was a price to pay. So what I'm saying this morning, let's treat God reverently, with godly reverence, with godly fear. Don't play with God. Don't play games with God. And throughout the scriptures, there are many, many other illustrations through. If I can just run through a couple of these, we might get through a few of them and teach a few more things. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 5, you can turn there if you like, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, they had lied. They said they'd sold their property for so much and give it all to the work of the Lord. And then Peter confronted Ananias. He said, tell me something. Is it true that you sold the land for so much? And Ananias said, yep, that's right. But they kept back part of the price of the land and tried to make out, aren't I so good because I've given all this to the Lord? Peter said, you know, you've lied to God. Bang, he dropped down dead on the spot. They carried him out and buried him. A few hours later, Ananias came in, and Peter said to Sapphira, rather, Ananias has been buried. He's been put away. And so his wife Sapphira comes in, and Peter says to Sapphira, tell me something. Is it true that you sold the land for so much and gave it to the work of the Lord? She said, yes. He said, behold, the feet of those that have just buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. So she dropped dead on the spot as well. The interesting word there is the word tempt in Acts chapter 5. Goes along with the word over there in 1 Corinthians 10, not to tempt the Lord. See, they had lied to God. Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And so God dealt with two believers then on the spot. And what happened? Fear came upon the church when everybody saw and heard what had happened. We need a good old dose of godly fear. Even unsaved people knew in the days of the Old Testament and even the early New Testament when God was around and where God's people were living for God. I remember when Rahab the harlot heard that the Israelites were coming, mate, she wanted an insurance policy. She knew Judgment Day was coming. And so she said to those two spies, when you come into the land, I want security. I want my family to be saved. I don't want them to come under the sword and to die in this judgment. She knew what was coming. By faith, Rahab, says in Hebrews chapter 11. She said, we have heard how God has done this and this and this with you people, and I don't want to be destroyed. So we know that Rahab knew what was going to happen to Jericho. She said, I want us to be spared. The interesting thing was when Jericho was destroyed, Rahab's house and that part of the wall was still standing. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. That was not coincidence. That was divine providence. It's wonderful to read through the Word of God. And then, of course, King Uzziah, wonderful, wonderful king, King Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26. Sometimes as you read through the time of the kings, you'll find that sometimes they get to the point of saying, well, hang on a minute, I'm the boss, I'm the leader, I'm the ruler. I don't have to give an account to anybody. I'm not answerable to you. Well, I think Uzziah got to that place in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He was a good king too, incidentally. But you know, as he got older, the danger set in. So have a look here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 1 it says, the people took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king. A king at 16. And he ruled many years. But as you look on down here in verse 16, 26, 16, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, there's several instances in the scripture here where people burnt incense when they weren't supposed to. Uzziah was one of them. But, you know, he's been the king since he was 16 years of age. He's been ruling for a long time. Now he says, you know, I think I'll go into the temple. And he says, or into the temple, he says, I think I will offer up some incense to God. Well, this is what he does. So he goes into the temple of the Lord. And it says in verse 17, Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests, and they were valiant men. The priests of the Lord were valiant men. So he's got 80 men following him into the temple saying, hang on a minute, what do you think you're doing? Well, I'm the king and I can do what I want. I'm not answerable to you or anybody else. Well, hang on a minute, that's not your job. You're not supposed to be doing this. He said, listen, if I want to do it, I will do it. And so they tried to restrain him. They tried to stop him. But look down here in verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be upon be for thine honour from the Lord our God. You know, you have no right being in here offering incense. You may be the king, but you're not a part of the priestly line, so you need to leave. They withstood. But then verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had the censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord and from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. He knew he shouldn't have been doing it, but he went and did it anyway. He was counseled not to do it, but he went and did it anyway. And so he played games with God, and he paid the price. He was struck down with leprosy. You know, there was another one like that that got struck down with leprosy. It was Moses' sister. Yeah, Aaron and Miriam, they said to Moses, "Well, who do you think you are? You think you're the only one God's going to speak through or speak to? Or you think you're the only prophet that God can raise up?" And God said, "I'll tell you what, you two, come here. You three, come here." And he says, "You know, if I choose a man, I'm going to speak to and through a man. I will do that." And the next thing you know, Miriam, Moses' sister, is struck down with leprosy, just like that. And Moses, being the meekest man on all the earth, he said, "You know, what have you done, Lord?" He said, "Well, you know, she's insulted me, so we're going to lock her out for a week, teach her a lesson." See? He said, "Even if a daughter shames her father, he locks her out for a time to shame her." He said, "So I've taken Miriam, I've shamed her because of the way she's treated you and how she's treated me, and so we'll deal with her." And so God did that. So Miriam, that's found in Numbers chapter 12, if you want to read that for yourself. And it's amazing to read over in Leviticus 9. How are we going for time? Heaps. Yeah, we don't want to go too far. Want to leave something for the next time I come up. Maybe. If the Lord spares me. Okay, Leviticus chapter 9. I get excited when I read the Word of God, and I tried to throw all this together when Brother Buddy said, "I want you to preach." I said, "Okay." I thought, "Yeah, what am I going to preach?" I said, "I know what I'll preach. These guys are preaching on the fear of God." And God said, "Why don't you talk about reverence and talk about that sort of thing?" So I got down to Leviticus chapter 9. Turn there, please. Again, this is like King Uzziah, how he usurped the authority he did not have, even though he was the king. He tried to do something he was not supposed to do, and he paid the price for it. Well, here's another crowd amongst the children of Israel that were like this. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, if you'll turn there, please. Leviticus 9, 24. I want you to go out of here today loving the Lord. We know he's a God of grace, a God of mercy, but he's also a holy God. He's a God of righteousness, and he is a God of judgment. So we need to go out of here with a great reverential respect and fear of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which all the people saw, and they shouted and fell on their faces." So here the fire of God comes out and consumes the sacrifice upon the altar. Jump down to the next chapter. First chapter 10, verse 1. "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not." They've already seen the fire of God do its job consuming the sacrifice. The fire came out from the altar, says here, and consumed upon the altar the offering. And so they take their censer, they put incense therein, and it says in verse 2, "There went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." They knew better. But they said, "That's all right, we'll do it anyway." And so they went out and they put the incense in their censers. They offered it before the Lord, and I tell you what, God struck them dead. And they devoured them. The fire came out and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And then if you look down into Numbers 26. Numbers 26, if you look down in verse 61. And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord. And those that were numbered of them were 23,000, all the males from a month old and upward, for they were not numbered among the children of Israel because there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel. Nadab and Abihu, boom! Pew, fire came out and consumed them because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and they did what they were not supposed to do, and they paid the price for that. See, getting flippant, getting careless, and being over familiar with God. Well, I can do this. No problem. Numbers 16. You know, if this happens to one group of people in the same family, you think, goodness, somebody should learn a lesson from this. Wouldn't you agree? But evidently, the tribe of Levi had a lot of problems. Not only with Aaron and Miriam, Nadab and Abihu, and we think about Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Look here in Numbers chapter 16. Incidentally, I learned in Bible college, Brother Buddy, that the book of Numbers is the book of wanderings and failures. Did you learn that? I learned in Bible college the book of Numbers was the book of wanderings and failures. All right, let's look over here, Numbers chapter 16. So whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. 1 Corinthians 10, these things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In these last days we ought to pay more attention to the Word of God than ever before. Numbers 16, verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Now, who was preaching on separation here the other day? James. So here we've got separation. God says, you know, Moses, you need to separate from this crowd because I tell you what, they're not doing the right thing. And the Bible says, and they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Hey, Adam and Eve sinned. And guess what? The curse has been on mankind ever since the Garden of Eden. And the Son of God had to come and pay the price for the sins of mankind so that we could have the forgiveness of sins, have a home in heaven and eternal life. But let's get back here. Jump to verse 31. So this crowd called Korah, he's basically saying, well, what right does Moses think he's the only one that can have himself a religion and be the priest and be the leader? I'll start my own religion. I'll have my own tabernacle. I'll have my own priesthood. And if I want to do that, I'll do that. Well, Moses was saying, yeah, I wouldn't do that if I was you. You read it for yourself, chapter 16. So God gets wind of it and God says, you know what? You need to separate from that crowd because they're in trouble with me. And if you hang around with them, you're going to be in trouble with me. So God says, you need to separate from them. Look at verse 31. And it came to pass that as he had made an end of speaking all these words, Moses said, you know what? If this is of God, nothing's going to happen. If it's not of God, God's going to make the ground open up and swallow you. Look at it, verse 31. Came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow up us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men that offered incense. Whoo! Jump down to verse 49. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. The book of Numbers is a great book. You can learn a lot from the failures of men, and you can learn a lot about God's patience and God's long-suffering, and you can learn a lot by reading the Word of God. It reminds me of Herod over there in Acts chapter 12. You remember Herod was one who beheaded James by the sword there from the church in Jerusalem. He thought, wow, this is making people happy. He thought, this is going to make the Jews happy. And so he thought, you know, I'm going to take Peter. We'll make the example of Peter as well. But, you know, the Lord intervened there, and Peter wasn't going to get the chop because God intervened. But on this same chapter here, Herod, because he's done this deed now, he thinks he's a great man, he goes down to another town where basically they're against him. But, you know, he stands up and speaks in verse 20. Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Zidon, but they came with one accord to him, having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And verse 21, upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. I mean, he was speaking to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Think about that. The hand of God was dealing right then and there. Herod was struck down by the angel of God, and the Bible says he was eaten of worms right there in the presence of those people. As I read through the scriptures, I think, you know, I'm not going to play around with God. I'm going to play with fire. You know, when I was a kid, I deviate here. My dad was a returned soldier. He's one of the Chinese Anzacs. He's listed on the Chinese Anzac website. And my brother and I were down the back playing in the backyard, and we had a 4-gallon drum of petrol. That's what, a 20-litre drum? A 20-litre drum of petrol. So we were down there playing with fire. We had the top off that thing, and we had a light, you know. And it sat there burning, you know. We didn't know what was going to happen because we were only little kids. My dad drove in the truck, parked in the driveway, and he ran down the back and put his foot on the hole where the lid goes on and snuffed out the flame. I thought, you know, how crazy you can be as a kid. We were playing with fire and we could have got burnt, but my dad intervened. He put his foot over the hole of that. I was impressed as a kid. He ran down, the fire was pouring out of that drum, and he just put his foot on that hole, and next thing you know, the fire's out. Don't play with fire because something might happen to you. I mean, we were only little kids, but my dad had enough sense to put his foot on the hole and stop the fire. Well, there's much, much more I could say, but I could tell you Nebuchadnezzar was a man that was a great king. He had conquered all over the place, and he looked at all of his conquests and said, man, aren't I great? Look at these empires that I've got, and look what I've accomplished. God said, hang on a minute. I think you got the cart before the horse. I'm the one that allowed you to do all this. See, God had already prophesied there's going to be four kingdoms. The Nebuchadnezzar kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom, which would be conquered, God said, by the Medo-Persians, which happened, Daniel 5. And then he said, you know what, there are going to be the Grecians. They're going to rise up and conquer the Medo-Persians. And then there would be the Iron Empire that would conquer the Greeks. Nebuchadnezzar was one of those kings. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. We'll make this the last one. Daniel 5. So Daniel's, Nebuchadnezzar thinks, boy, aren't I something? Look how powerful I am. Look at my greatness. You know, God had to pull him up and say, hang on a minute. You're nothing without me, and I'm the one that put you where you are. I'm the one that allowed you to accomplish all this. Daniel 5, verse 20. It says, but when his heart was lifted up, well, hang on, that seems to be a current, it seems to be a prominent problem that some of these kings have. We saw that with Uzziah. We see it with others throughout the scriptures. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. See, God said, this is what's going to happen. If you persist in this line that you're traveling down, I'm going to deal with you, and they're going to take your throne from you. They're going to cast you out there, and you're just going to be like a brute beast, brother. Did you get that from the Sunday school this morning? He said, you know, you're going to be out there in the field just like an animal, verse 21. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. You know why you're the king of Babylon? Because I'm the one that put you there. You know why you've got that great empire and that great kingdom? Because I'm the one that allowed you to conquer these other nations. And so as you look through the Word of God, there is so much more we could talk about. Ananias, Sapphira, Miriam, Uzziah, Uzzah, Nadab, Abihu, Pharaoh, Herod eaten by worms. Oh, what about Ahab and Jezebel? You ever read about Ahab and Jezebel? Don't ever call your daughter Jezebel. Ah, that's a bad name. But anyway, Ahab and Jezebel, you know what? God had already spelled out what was going to happen to Ahab and Jezebel. Yeah, we got a minute. Let's have one quick minute. There we go. I lied, sorry. 1 Kings 21. I love picking on Ahab and Jezebel. See, Jezebel was one of those women that thought, you know, I'm going to put it over God. God's not going to tell me what to do. 1 Kings 21:23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And he that dieth of Ahab shall in the city shall the dogs eat. And he that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Look over also in 1 Kings 21. 1 Kings 21, look down into verse 19. Thus shalt thou speak unto him, talking about Ahab. Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. So God says, this is how you're going to die, and this is how you're going to die. This is what's going to happen when you die, and this is what's going to happen when you die. How do you know the Word of God's true? Read it and you find out exactly like God said it was going to be, is exactly as it happened. Paul said over in Acts 27, I believe it's going to be exactly as God said it was going to be. And so we know that Ahab was told by Micah, he said, you know what? You're going to go out there to battle, and you're going to die. I saw the sheep of Israel as being without a shepherd. And Ahab said, take him back to the prison, feed him bread of affliction, the water of affliction. When I come back, I'll deal with him. Micah said, if you come back, I'm not a prophet of God. And you know what? Ahab died in that battle, and they took him out of the battle, and guess what? There was blood all through the chariot. And they took his chariot, and they washed the blood out of the chariot, and guess what? The place where they washed out the chariot, the dogs came and licked up the blood out of the chariot, just like God said. And there's old Jezebel. She's standing at the window looking out. She tied her head and painted her face. And Jehu drives up in the chariot, and the servants are standing at the window, and he says, shove her out the window. So they shoved her out the window. She hit the ground. Splat. He trampled her with the horses, went inside to have a snack. When he came out, he said, you know, we ought to do the right thing and at least bury her. But when they went out to bury her, all that was left were the palms of her hands, the feet that she walked on, and a skull. Filthy mind, dirty hands, dirty feet. The dogs had devoured the rest. Why did that happen? Because that's how God said it was going to happen. So, you know, don't mess with God. Don't play around with God. We've got a world that does not believe in God. And God is the one who is still in charge. And God is the one that has his finger on the pulse. He knows what's going on. And you need to pray for our world. And don't be afraid or be ashamed that you know who God is. I mean, God is God. He's the creator. He's the judge. And one day there's going to be a reckoning day. It might be soon. Father, thank you for your son. Bless our day today. Speak to hearts. If there's one here today that does not know you, pray today someone might get saved. If there's someone here that's been playing games with you, playing with fire, I pray, Lord, they'd stop before they get burned. Commit this service to your care in Jesus' name. Amen.